Welcome to Combat Gauge, Wargamer Online's official Age of Sigmar podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Combat Gauge Episode 1. This is a new show for Wargamer Online, so this is going to be our podcast format. And to celebrate the very first episode, I have alongside me a sheer giant amongst Age of Sigmar. He's very modest, though, but Luke Morton is with me. Welcome, Luke.
Yeah, cheers, thanks. Yeah, it's good to be on.
Cool. Well, what the reason we wanted to celebrate episode one is, not only is Luke one of us at the WGO team, which is fantastic, and it's always great fun doing hobby and wargaming with you. I have no spare parts left in any of my hobby shop, but you know, still, you're still worth it. But also, we wanted to celebrate your latest victory at Sheffield Slaughter.
Yeah, we've got to discuss that and how the event was run, all them bits.
So, bit of background. Should we start with a bit of background? You know, Base Hammer 2019, your very first Age of Sigmar tournament. Whereabouts did you come?
I won.
Throne of Skulls, autumn doubles event that was with WGO's Sam.
Yeah, we all went together, didn't we?
We
as
all
a team.
Went together. Yeah, that's true. How did you do that?
I won that one.
Brotherhood team event, start of 2020. Though. Was that in January? Mid-January Brotherhood, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic team event. There was some incredible coverage. If you've not heard of Brotherhood, the Age of Sigmar team event, or you want to know a lot more about it, I know that Dan over at Priority Role Podcast did a whole bunch of coverage. He interviewed a lot of the teams going in there. And did a post Brotherhood show as well, didn't he? Was just, if you haven't checked out Priority Role, it is right now my favorite podcast, I think. Right now, my favorite podcast. I'm fickle, though. You know, yeah. Dan better keep his standards up.
He's got a great voice for podcasts.
He does an amazing show. So check him out, because there's loads of info on Brotherhood. How did you do it, Brotherhood?
Yeah, we won. The team took it out by the closest of margins, but yeah.
And then finally, just recently then, Sheffield Slaughter. As we said, you've taken that one. So that's 4-4, Luke.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You're pretty... I think you should be more pleased than you are with it, but there you go. So
I've got enough people that hate me already. I don't know.
So your first four tournaments, four wins. Obviously, it puts a hell of a lot of pressure on you for tournament five.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to take me out now.
So. Yeah, you know. Well, I'm not going to talk about the one time I beat you. Okay, some background then. Sigmar, you know, four tournaments, but, you know, have you been playing Sigmar long?
Yeah, so before Facehammer, I got into it about a month before Facehammer. Just started to get the army ready, and yeah, it just took a long time, because before in 8th edition, I used to really just go for the gaming. I never really did any of the hobby. I got someone else to paint my armies.
Right, okay.
So I thought I'd do the whole thing this time, just try and get conversion.
So this is this was a brand new army. It wasn't. What were you playing in Fantasy 8th edition?
A lot of Demons of Chaos, Warriors of Chaos, and then a bit of Beastmen mixed in with it all.
So this is a brand new army. What faction you play?
Idoneth Deepkin. So
nice. And in fact, actually, for those of you watching the podcast show on YouTube, there's a sample shot of some of your eels behind us actually. So it's a beautifully converted army. And it's this crossover between, you know, Idoneth Deepkin and the ghosts.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the ghosts.
Nighthaunt.
The Nighthaunt ghost faction. So this is kind of what's going off in your head in terms of that theme of that army. Is that the kind of an undead kind of Idoneth Deepkin army or something like that?
It's like they're slowly turning into the real form. They're still back in the night.
So they're kind of almost like
that's
the ring race.
A lot of the Idoneth parts.
Yeah. Cool. So the list. I want to cover some of this background information. I want to have a quick look at your list and how it's developed. Yeah, but let's before we jump into kind of a breakdown of the Sheffield Slaughter event. So, you know, to do that, I want to kind of go into the game format, the tournament format, how it was pointed, how it was scored, and we can kind of do a one by one look through each one of the games. Kind of just give us an overview. Not too much details. We don't want this to be a 20-hour show.
No.
But before we jump into that, I think we can kind of, you know, I just wanted to get push on with some of the background, really. And, you know, the list for your Iden of Deepkin, do you want to kind of give us a history of it? Because you said you built it for Facehammer.
Yes, originally I went with the idea of just going with lots. I always had MSU in my mind, so multiple small units.
Right.
And I went for a lot of thralls. I had a lot of thralls in my list. I had about 90 when I was just getting into the game. Not built, no, okay, proxy.
Right, okay then.
So as I played some practice games, it just evolved into realizing bills are the one and the rest of the army is for the bin. So yeah.
And for those of you who know Luke, you'll probably know the bin.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
unit that doesn't meet up to standards belongs quite simply in the bin. Yeah,
need to get the bin trending. Yeah, it's good.
Hashtag the bin. Okay. Interesting point you mentioned there. Like you started off like proxying. So I mean, already, you know, you got an idea you wanted to do Iden of Deepkin, but you've not committed a lot of spend. You've not bought hundreds of models. You're proxying. You're using what, different models or just bases or?
Yeah, just borrowing models off whoever I knew, just because I don't have a lot of money, really. So it's always best, I found, just to proxy and play and just to find the list that's right for you and then get the main bulk of the list and then spend the money you need on the main bulk.
That's actually quite smart, isn't it? Because I think a lot of the time you hear a lot of resentment if a unit kind of gets nerfed post-release and someone's gone out and bought 10 boxes of it. You know, it avoids that, doesn't it? You're letting the dust settle on the battle tome and you're assessing what works and what doesn't work, not just by theory hammer, but actually putting it on the table.
Yeah, I think you do end up buying, you do have to end up buying a bulk of the range.
Yeah.
That you know is effective and good if that's what you're going for in competitive play, because you just your list changes all the time as you're playing.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so I do add, I have got units that I've never used that I have bought.
So, but then super fast overview of what the final list looked like at Facehammer. So, this is the first time you took it into a tournament. What was in there?
So, there was 24 ills in the list
for MSU Facehammer, format, all units of three.
They had one unit of six, and right, one of them was the other type of ills, Ishling Guard, or the other were Morsar Guard.
Oh, so everything is the shocks and the spears, and rather than the sword and shield.
Yeah, I had one in Space Hammer, but they didn't really perform, so I took them out for when we went to throwing the scores, but that's different, that was 1,000 points.
A huge body of ills, battle line, because of...
Volturnos is the general, and he makes
all the eels battle line. Yes.
And then I had two priests, the pointy guy, the soul scries.
And this is where the I think if I remember rightly, is this where you picked up the name Salmon Cannon?
Yeah. Floating your flyers on top of terrain and going and sniping out key pieces.
Fantastic. And there was a unit in there, wasn't there, as well, at that the Facehammer. What was the...
Oh, I had a fleet master, just for a bit of Nathan Prescott's one of my good friends, and he likes to add in a giant, and he's beat me with a giant before, and he likes to keep telling me, I beat you with a giant. So I just wanted to add a bit of Nathan in and put a fleet master in for jokes.
So you got some spare points. I've had that fleet.
He was also very cost effective, so he was still a good piece to put in the army. I didn't just put him in for jokes.
Right,
he
was still, yeah.
He's still a unit to capture objectives and stuff like that. Okay. So he still had a role in the list.
We've got. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, by the way. We've got a few people in the YouTube comments there. What I want to do is revisit the comments towards the end of the show. That's cool. We'll push on.
Yeah, for the podcast.
We'll push on with the question
format, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. And we'll come back to the questions, yeah. And so please, if you want to ask a question, can I just make a reminder there, at Wargamer Online, just helps me find them amongst the list. But I'll scroll down them and say hello to everyone anyway. There's a couple of old faces, a couple of new faces, which is always good to see. Okay then, we're talking a whole bunch of eels, Volturnos, a couple of the characters.
And then I had some heart renders in Facehammer. The Daughters of Cain flying guys.
Okay, right. Okay, so that's the, you know, for that whole turn five, drop down, grab an objective.
Yeah, or drop down as a screen, however, you want to use them as, and yeah.
Okay, because there is an interesting point around allies within your list, is there not? Which is,
yeah. Well, we didn't really find this out until, because I never really read the rule till recently. But allies are a very powerful piece in an IDNF army because they block off the shooting, because they don't need to have the rule. It's how the IDNF rule is worded.
So the rule is worded that when your opponent targets your army, they have to shoot the nearest enemy unit.
Yeah.
Is that right? And it doesn't say...
the rule is you have to target the closest enemy, closest IDNF unit, as long as it's the closest enemy unit, because allies are enemy units. If they are closer, they would also block off.
Interesting. Okay, so, I mean, obviously Throne of Skulls is a doubles event, so you're dropping down to 1,000 points. You clearly had to tweak the list.
Yeah, so I still had Volturne and Ossian,
mm-hmm.
And a Soul Scryer. I had one Soul Scryer in there, and then I had three units of three Eels, and then I still had some of the Heart Renders in. But I used the other ones, I forgot what they're called now, the combat version instead of the shooting version, the Daughters of Cain.
Oh, yeah, we've got... It's not Heart Renders, is it? It's the alternative, but yeah. Okay, who knows?
I didn't really use them, and they didn't really come into play at Throne of Skulls.
So yeah, Jack still favours them, so, you know, if you check out the battle reports, he's still using some of those. You were also doubled up with Sam, who was there with his KO, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And again, never it was...
played Age of Sigmar.
Did you come out... I mean, was that a 5-0 tournament? Because obviously the Throne of Skulls, they're famous for a lot of soft scores. So what did you come away with at the end of that event?
So we won 4 games. We lost 1.
Okay.
But because we've got best sports and painting, that's how we won the event. Because obviously it was loads of soft scores at Throne of Skulls.
Sneaky business, but you know. I've got a feeling.
As Dan says, all the soft scores are for the bin.
yeah. Just some background there. Yeah. I was playing with Dan.
Dan Bradshaw.
Well, you know, Dan Bradshaw. And we went 5-0 and came.
No.
Okay. Brotherhood then. We're now into a 6-man team event. The list, and as I mentioned, you know, Dan at Priority Role did a lot of coverage around the kind of theory behind team events. You can make lists more extreme, or you can keep them generalistic. You can have hard counters to certain lists that you're expecting to come across in the meta. What did you feel you needed to do with your IDNF going into that?
I just think experience with what you've got is always key. So they just said what? Go with what I had, and that's the only army I'd really painted. So I just changed it up a bit. I added some Aether Wings in. I took out the Heart Renders I had from Facehammer and added a couple of units of Aether Wings in just to block off units.
Right.
And then I just went all Morsar Guard in that one.
Okay.
The Brotherhood.
Right.
And I still had the two priests in there.
Aether Wings, I mean, they're not fantastic in combat. They've not got a decent save. It's 6 wounds to a unit of 3. Were you doing them as a unit of 3, or did you have a unit of 6?
Yeah, two units of three.
They're just
brilliant.
They're
really fast. They're movement 12, and they go on objectives quickly, block off shooting, and they're
it's one of those you could almost overlook it until you see it in the context of the list. I was at the Throne of Skulls tournament recently, which was a single player one based around a commander. You had this commander special character, and I added Aether Wings after playing against you a couple of times. Added Aether Wings to my Fire Slayers, and okay, it doesn't quite give me the shooting shielding that I had, but boy, did they come in handy in terms of just being able to grab some of those far-reaching objectives when you've got a relatively slow-moving army.
Against the matchup that if you've both got the same army, IDNF versus IDNF, you can just use your Aethers to go along the edges of the board. Yeah. And block off all the teleports, and then it allows your army just to cover the board.
Interesting.
And really, so it probably forces the other IDNF player to put their eels on the board, because they won't really do anything if they're off the board.
Nice. Nice. Okay, and you know, and then we get into Sheffield Slaughter, but you know, I think maybe that's a good time to actually focus on Sheffield Slaughter now. So the rest of the show, let's just do a quick focus on that. I just want to jump into questions. I've seen one question there is, what does this is from Katie. Hey, Katie. What does MSU mean? It's multiple small units.
Yeah.
Many small units.
Yeah, multiple small units.
Multiple or many, either way. Lots and lots of small units. Because essentially the way, for those of you new to the game, the unit size has a minimum and a maximum, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, for instance, with the eels, you can have a minimum of 3. That's the standard unit, but they max out at 12?
12, I think it is,
12, yeah. So, you know, when some people take, like, big blocks of 2 blocks of 12 or something like that would be the way to go, or, you know, 4 blocks of 6, but your option is to take those lots and lots of small units and take the table coverage, really. But we'll come into that, because I think we saw that in great effect in Game 5. Of Sheffield Slaughter. So
Jack also told us the name. It's Life Takers that I took at Fiona's Goals. The combat, their daughters of Cain, flying guys.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Good to see you. right, okay. Sheffield Slaughter, you were a last-minute entry, correct?
Yeah, so just randomly, Thursday, Pete just texted me saying, I've just had a last-minute dropout. Do you fancy it? Katie was next to me at the time, and I just said, look, I've been asked by Pete to enter into Sheffield. Are you up for it? We'll go together. And Katie said, yeah. And then I'll just text him back saying, yeah, I'll come.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. We'll talk a little bit about the game coverage. You know what? We'll mention it now. Honest Wargamer and the T-Sports Network covered the event, live streaming some of the tables. Your games were covered in Game 4 and 5?
Yeah, Game 4 or 5,
and there's some great footage in that as well. That's quite cool. And I know I was chatting to Katie, actually. She was saying she was listening along to the stream, so she could, while she was sat watching you play, she got somebody in her ear telling her what was happening, which was really useful for her to understand
with a goblet of wine.
Okay.
Yeah, he does a great job of that, because it don't just cover the tables. He's got like a guy that goes around and gets information from
10 or, you know, I think it was like the top 10 tables they kept coming back with information on. So it was really good. It kind of gave you kind of an immersive experience of the event. I was really impressed with the footage. So, format then. This isn't a doubles. Soft scores don't come into it so much, but is it a factor?
It was a larger factor than a lot of the competitive tournaments, because you got 5 points for every game for sports. So
right, okay.
You could almost get a major win at 25 points if you give your opponents a great time or you give your best balls.
So, wow, 5 points for every game. That's
quite a large factor. And then you also got extra points if your army got nominated, ended up getting, which helped me, I think, at the end.
Cool. Okay. 5-game format. How much time did you have per game?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. Okay.
There was a bit of flexibility in that. I think some of the games run over early on, which pushed the day along. But yeah, it. 2.5 hours.
And it's not, I can't think of the exact timing. It's not not years past the Zeech release, was it? It was weeks past the Zeech release. I think they came in late in the year, didn't they? What, you know, and I mentioned that because what kind of meta were you expecting to go up against?
I expected to see a lot of Orcs, a lot of Zeech, and a lot of Bone Reapers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so the OBR in there. Is that what you got? Or?
Well, there's quite a lot of Ogre Mortars. I wasn't expecting that.
Wow.
There was a lot of Zeech and what I expected, yeah.
Okay. OBR was there.
OBR was
much
there.
Much Fire Slayers, or?
Yeah, a few Fire Slayers. They're very, very powerful at the moment.
Yeah, because of the nerf. It's just helped them, hasn't it? I think it's just, you know, you 400 points for 20. I agree. I just think it really helps Fire Slayers, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely made them stronger.
Yeah,
A fellow Dragon Slayer, Andy Hughes, took the Fire Slayers.
Okay.
So yeah.
Right. Okay. So final list. Then we've talked about how it evolved a little bit over the kind of 4 tournaments. What did you end up with for this top to bottom list for Sheffield Slaughter?
What were the final results?
No, what was your final army list?
Oh, just so to confirm. The night, so when I looked at it, I knew I was going. It was Thursday. I had a quick look at my list. So I talked to a friend of mine, my captain of Brotherhood, Darren Watson. I was just discussing with him, well, because you could see the missions before in this, they were pre-released. The heroes didn't really matter. So I thought, well, I don't really need the two Soul Scryers. I thought, I'll take one of them out and put some Thralls in. I sent some different versions over. Darren come back with some nice little additions, but I just didn't have the models to paint up. So originally, I wanted to put 20 Shadow Warriors in instead of the Aether Wings and the Soul Scry. But there's no way I'm going to get that done. So I just said, look, I'll try and get the 10 Thralls done.
Well, Jack hadn't given you his parts. So you attempted 10 Thralls, and this isn't 10 Thralls out of the box. This is 10 converted Thralls.
10 converted Thralls. And I said to Kay, I'm never going to get it done. And she just said, look, you're off Friday. Let's just crack on and get them done. And yes.
So you just put a whole day into a unit.
Yeah? I put a whole day into a unit and got them done.
I think, yeah. I joined you for about 3 hours, yeah, on the chat. And it was like, I was like, I've done enough hobby today. I've done like 3 hours. That's it. But you were just soldiering on. I was impressed.
And luckily, they ended up being, they were definitely the unit of the day. Because there's so many eels in the list, they just got ignored. Thralls ignored. They just do so much damage.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's the thing. One of those things, there's so many eels in the list, like you ignore them, but you can't really afford to ignore them.
And then you can just like turn them all into super little mini Super Saiyans with Voltron and Volturnos in turn three. Just go, oh, here, have plus three attacks. Yeah, it's tasty when that happens.
Oh, fantastic. All 10 Thralls. Fantastic. Okay, in terms of the games, then let's jump through games 1 to 5.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Okay. So game 1, Living City, and I think the player was Andy Thompson.
Yeah. So a great guy, and it was dwarves basically, but because of the city's book allows you now to put dwarves inside it. He put dwarves inside the city's book, put it in Living Cities, and he also had Gotrek. Yeah, Gotrek and a load of stunty dudes.
Okay, well, I've got to ask the question. Did you manage to kill Gotrek?
I did at the end, yeah. You have to ignore him, really, if you want to play it. Yeah, so I just picked off all the key units to get the objectives, and then at the end I said, let's do it, let's have a big fight. I put all my eels into him, and I think he killed like 12 eels or 15 eels in the end, but they eventually stabbed him down to the just last wound. Yeah.
Massive. Okay, cool. You know, so score there, was that a major victory? Yeah.
Major victory. Yeah.
Right, okay then. Game 2, Ogre Moor Tribes.
Ogre Moor Tribes, guy called James Boot.
Boots.
And he was another awesome opponent, and he had loads of... He also had an MSU list. And loads of four-man blocks of lead belchers. And then three Iron Blasters, a couple of Wizards. It was a pretty tasty looking list. I think you ended up coming 10th or something with Ogres. Right, okay. Yeah, top Ogre player, went 4-1. He did really good.
Wow. Nice.
But because Idenf's so good against shooting, you just can kind of control where those shots are going and how much damage they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit different in his list. The shooting's deceiving because the Ogres, the Vultures, do way more in combat than they do actual shooting. Right. So it is a bit harder to kill, but
Even so, like you say, being able to pick who's going to take the shooting, and in many respects, because of the movement, being able to pick your combats, being able to pick your charges, is tricky, isn't it? I have to confess that I've got a soft spot for the Ogre Moor Tribes armies. I do think I've seen a few lately, and I know that a couple of the guys from round here, Mark and Toby are taking Moor Tribes to the next doubles event in June at Warhammer World as well. And they've got a smashing looking army. Yeah. It's fantastic. Okay, game 3, Zeech, I think, which was Mark Wildman, yeah?
Yeah, an old friend of mine. He's a good player. He's just good at gaming, so...
What was in the list then? What kind of Zeech? Are we talking change host?
No, so he had no retreat, but it was on a very unusual Zeech list. So he had Archeon in, he had 10 knights in there, and a lot of more. There's a lot of Slayers of Darkness units inside of Zeech.
Wow.
So you probably never see it, so it's quite a hard cookie to crack.
Right, okay.
Trying to tough kill
game
all that.
Or
yeah. It was back and forth, but I think the way that my army works and it was total conquest, so I could just blow units off and take points off him, so I could just play the late game and just go up on scores right at the end and just win it that way, which is what eventually happened. I just got up on too high on points in the end.
Right, okay then. Now, games, as I mentioned, games 4 and 5 were streamed, so my entire family was watching.
Yeah.
We were very proud. We were driving up the motorway, actually, to Warhammer World, and we had you on the car audio, so we could listen in on the game. Game 4 was KO against Ben Smith, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay then. So, you know, when I saw the setup, I was thinking, actually, this could be a challenge because these guys are all over the place as well. You know, they've got so many options. And I think it was Jack that pointed it out to me before even the guys in the, before Rob even picked up on it, was you fly, everything flies, which a lot of the rules for KO, for retreating from combat, etc., don't work against flying units, do they?
Yeah, swings and roundabouts, because his shooting is just better against flying because it rerolls ones.
Oh, okay, good point.
So its shooting is better, but if it doesn't kill those targets, then I can just pin him in combat and do the grind game, and it's never going to win the grind game in that way. But
yeah,
he definitely played it. I think taking the first turn was a mistake, but I think everything else, his target selection, brilliant. At one point, the Ironclad blew away, 12 of my ulls?
Yeah.
It was squeaky.
And the Ironclad was around till something like turn 4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which I just wasn't expecting that, because there was a bunch of guys there, but he just kept blowing you away, didn't he? Kept shooting you away, which was incredible.
I thought I had him pinned down as well, and then he got to a point where he killed 3 of my ulls, which allowed him to then pile away from the 6 ulls, which had him in combat. So then he could kill the Soulscryer in his turn with like some of the guys that are inside the Ironclad, which then allowed him just to wipe out the unit of 6.
It's the Soulscryer. Was he armed with? You're going to have to forgive me because I can't remember. There's a charm that means you can't. The mist.
Cloud of Midnight. Yeah, Cloud so you can't midnight. Be targeted by attacks. In any,
had you already used that at that point?
Yeah, I'd already used that. Yeah.
Okay, because that's a beauty as well. I really love to see that played out. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. It's you go after that unit and then you're like, no, actually, you can't fight this turn, and you can actually shut a tactic down for a turn, can't you? Just around one pivotal unit, really.
Yeah, I did it against Chris in game 5, but with his army, he could just fight in hero phase. I think he knew in his head he could just get. I think he just charged. He just didn't want to get rid of it to get, give me the pluses to charge and stuff. So he could he got the turn, he could kill it in his hero phase, teleport them away, and then. So it didn't really matter.
So that was the plan. Right, okay then, cool. Well, game 4, another major victory. All the way through, this has been major victories so far.
Yeah.
Did it feel like a close game? It looked close on the stream.
I thought in my head it was going to be easier than it was. I didn't realise how much damage. Those boats can do some serious amount of shooting damage. So when I actually started playing the game, I thought, well, this is, I'm going to have to adapt here. I had a plan, but I think KO before, we normally just like one drop. They've got all the toys in one place. But in that boat list, they could just be all over the place. So I had to just deploy in a way where I just had to bring him in, start shooting me to allow me to then pin him all in places, which is what eventually happened. But
yeah, because I think the frigate, you managed to surround that before you took it out. So anybody inside of that just couldn't deploy, could they, as well? Which was like, ouch, you know, I mean, it's but the gamble they take, isn't it, to get stuck in combat. KO is one of those interesting factions, isn't it? I think when people have had more time with it, we're just going to see more and more competitive play with that. Possibly because of the way they play, it's as much about getting a load of practice in with that army as it is about finding that list, isn't it? You know,
it's like target selection. I think they can just really play the movement game and just go in one place, blow that unit off, go to the next place, blow that unit off. So I think they have to play in that kind of way. And
grabbing objectives with some of the smaller units maybe as you go along. Okay, so right by now, you know, we're halfway up the motorway, our nerves are wrecked, and you're going into game 5, and you're up against Chris Green.
Yeah.
Flesh Eater Courts. on paper, when I saw that list, when I saw him setting up, I thought, oh, this could be a challenge, you know.
Yeah.
Talk through the Flesh Eater Claws list.
Well, no, I was like, I've not seen this before. I've not played it before. I was asking loads of questions. Can it do this? Can it do that? Can it do this? And I was like, wow, this can do so much stuff. It can fight in the hero phase. It can teleport. It gets really fast. It does mortal wounds. It can fight twice. It's got summoning. Yeah, it can do a lot of stuff. So I was like, wow, what do I do against this? And then I had to completely change the way that I normally play. I normally play conservative, hold back, wait for turn three, but I thought I'm just going to have to go for it straight off the bat and give him just really block that teleporting off. If he wants to teleport, then I've got counter charges left, right and centre, which is how I played it, and it did work out in the end.
It's tricky to call, so this is no disservice to Rob whatsoever, but, you know, Rob on the commentary of the live stream was saying, you know, we're all expecting Luke to sit back for turn one, it'd be crazy to come forward, etc., etc. And the reason I say it's tricky is because you can't see the distance. You know, you don't know whether it looked like you couldn't get into combat that first turn.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You just went forward and you did get stuff. I mean, you got quite a few units into combat, didn't you? I don't know whether you had some lucky rolls there or...
I didn't get what I wanted in, really. I mean, it was a bit of a gamble, but I wanted to try and get a unit into the dogs, and then I had a unit which would have got bonuses from the Soulscry to get in, but I failed that charge with the
reroll. Okay, yeah.
But I got the two units I wanted to get in, because I could have maybe... charge the six block in and then use the two threes to kill the six in front and then pile the six in to kill the six behind.
But right.
That charge didn't get in, so I could only kill the 1-6 in the end.
Yeah, and I think importantly with this army, because they're constantly summoning back, aren't they? You needed to wipe out whole units, didn't you? That was the challenge with that. So when you hit that six, you know, both Jack and I were in the car doing the mental arithmetic of saying, can the six eels take out six of those guys? Is it a safe combat, or, you know, were you fairly confident going in that would delete that list, or delete that unit rather?
I'm confident with my eels. I mean, if you go through the list, so yeah, two units of six crit flayers.
Yeah.
A unit of three crit flayers. A terrorgeist with -2 bravery. He had an arch regent, the guy, And then so 10 dogs as a screen, and then right. Furry summoning. He had 20 ghouls and three of the crypt horrors.
Yeah, because the arch just regent didn't have anything comes else with painted. The arch regent comes with ghouls, doesn't it?
Well, or more flayers.
Or is it more flayers? Ah, okay, right.
You just didn't have them painted. Ideally, you'd want to put your flayers on.
Yeah.
So
such a good unit.
I'm pretty confident six eels just on a charge with shocks kill six flayers.
Right.
They did it anyway without doing the tail attacks. So right, I still would have had two units of three to pile in.
Wow.
And maybe kill the block behind, but that didn't happen. It ended up being back and forth for a couple of turns.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the score was, you know, it was close. It was back and forth. And again, it was one of those games. It was difficult to judge how it was going. I felt confident. You know, I was staying Luke for the win, but it was difficult to judge from a distance, but from your point of view, at what point into the game did you feel you'd got that, or was it close right to the end?
I think when he gave me the first turn,
mm-hmm.
I just spread the board and blocked off all the teleports, and then when he had his first turn and put his Terrorgeist into my block of three, was near the boat.
Yeah.
If you ever watch back, he didn't end up killing. He didn't fight twice because he thought the dogs would take the last wound off.
Right.
Because okay. I had a 3-up save and I had also 6-up ignore from the boat.
Of course.
I ended up that one eel staying alive on one wound. That probably changed the game massively, because then it just allowed, even if he doubled me, the Terrorgeist would have had to just kill that one eel.
And that cheeky eel floated away, didn't it, and secured an objective later in a game.
And nearly killed three.
There's literally nothing more annoying than that, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the game was called in the end. You didn't get through to turn five, did you, or did you? I remember at one point there was a handshake. So is that right?
Yeah, I think because I was so far up on the points, there was no way of that physically being able to get in front of me. So we just agreed in the end that I'd won, and he just wanted to play for kill points towards the end, just to see how many victory points he could get.
So you're going into the end of the tournament 5-0. you know, there's a bunch of soft scores around favorite game, best army nomination. Did you know you got the army nomination at that point?
Yeah, okay. Sigma Army so got displayed.
You know, so you were coming in with those points. But there was also one other player that finished on 5-0 as well, was that right?
Yeah, JP. He was on 5-0, and if he had any sports, it was all down to the sports, really, because sports still trumped the nomination.
Okay.
So if JP got one sport vote, he would have took the event out.
Right, okay.
But if it went exactly tied on scores and I didn't get the nomination, I still would have won because I had more victory points.
Right, okay. So that's it. You took the Sheffield Player Shield.
Yeah.
Which is sported, if you've seen the, if you're on the YouTube channel, you will have seen the thumbnail where you're hoisting the Sheffield shield. I've picked that up. That weighs a ton. Yeah. That's not, it's not a lightweight shield.
Yeah, Timmy made the shield years ago, and I think it was stored at Ben Johnson's house for a while when he'd won the event, and then I just got the shield back after like 12 years.
So you've got to give it back.
I've got to make sure I give it back. Right. I might store it away like Johnson did.
Is it okay if I fit some new straps to it though? Because it feels like it needs more straps on it to carry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll upgrade it. We'll take it in the hobby shop and upgrade it. I tell you what I want to do. Before I go into my final question, let's have a quick look at the comments in the chat. And I'm just going to say hello to a few people. So we've got Liam Alford. Hello. Thank you for joining us. DJ Lucky One's in. Frost and Fist is there. Hey, Frost and Fist, how you doing? If that's Methos, I know you've been in hospital. I think it was a while. It was a bit back now, a few weeks ago back, but it's glad to see you're on the mend.
Actually, Liam will never forgive me. Just got a shout out that he got a second best painted. He didn't get a medal for it.
At Sheffield Slaughter.
For his Silver Neff Army.
Oh, okay. And, I've not seen those. I'm going to have to check them out on Twitter. Yeah. Okay, then. Right. We've also got 12 Neef in there saying, hey, all can't stay. 12 Neef's over in the US right now. So let us know, 12, if you're watching this back, let us know when you're back over for Warhammer World. I still owe you a rematch. We've got DJ the Lucky One in there, and Winterfell wears Luke's swanky new Dragon Slayer's hoodie. It'd probably clash with the green screen, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So you had I've seen the photos, you had a bright red hoodie with what did it say on the back?
Put it in the bin.
Okay, where are we now then? The wife allowed it, lol, says Katie. There wasn't that much Zeech Luke meat. I was surprised. This is coming from Liam. So yeah, not much Zeech at the tournament at all. I think was there about three or four players with Zeech, I think.
So Zeech, Idenef and Ogres were the most represented. There was eight Zeech, Idenef and then nine Ogres.
How many players was at the tournament then?
80. So there's a lot of
Zeech. Yeah. Okay. And then we've got Mavericks Hall of Geekery saying, I'm not quite sure what he's saying, goat, it's colon, and smiley faces. Frost and Fist saying, thanks, Phil. Feeling much better now. And Liam saying, cheers, mate. I'll add you back into my friends list. Okay. I've got one final question for you. And it's just simply build, paint, or play. You know, the hobby is all-encompassing, but what's your favourite aspect of those three? Can you call a favourite?
You just got to be the whole package. Win all the medals if you can. So.
Well, it's an important point, isn't it? Because, you know, in the doubles tournament, your army won. Did you get best army, or did you get... You got some units and...
Yeah, so we got best model, second best painted, and then we got the sports and the...
That was it, yeah, and the sports as well. And in this event...
Dan says the throw and don't count, so I can't count that.
It doesn't count, does it? Okay, fair enough then. And is that because he came ninth?
Yeah. And got no sports.
And you know what? I played alongside Dan, and we'll, you know, it's a stretch of the word to say I played. I think he let me roll some dice. And... he's an absolute lovely chap and he's a fantastic opponent. So, you know, if you can vote for your own team, I'd have voted for Dan, but, you know, there you go. But also, I mean, you know, it's seriously inside Sheffield Slaughter, then the nomination, you know, counted as well, you know, so...
Yeah.
You've put a lot of time and effort into the army. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I think we need to do a showcase for it, actually. So let's film a showcase and get it up on the channel as well so people can see some of the models up close, really, and get some little 360 videos done of them as well. So,
and I'd like to change the basing because that's the advice I got at Facehammer and the other events.
Yeah, so. You've got like a kind of boggy base, haven't you? A kind of gringy, boggy base. And I agree. I think the bases are probably the weakest part of it and need a refresh. But you know,
maybe add some units that are not just deals.
I look forward to you robbing all my basing materials. Okay. Right. DJ the Lucky One says, any general advice for list building? I think that's for another show, because one of the things we're going to do is hopefully a bunch of series in terms of AOS tips.
Yeah, so...
I mean, you feel free to give it an answer anyway, a short answer, but we will be revisiting this because we want to kind of do a Age of Sigmar tips series as well, where we'll be going through some of the stuff, and list building will be one of them we can look at. But quick advice.
Quick advice is pick, if you want it for competitive, pick an effective unit that's in your book and just build the bulk of your list. And then the main thing is playing and tweaking in the background. Don't just write a list, go to an event, and expect anything for you to do well. You definitely need to play and tweak your list and get experience mainly.
So. I think it's fair to say, isn't it? A well-experienced player with a counter-meta list is a formidable force at a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, if you've not seen it, you've not encountered it, you're coming across something for the first time, or it's just not something you've not played against for a while, because the meta lists are surrounding you, and someone comes along and they're just well practiced with their army and really know how to get everything out of it, then it, like I say, that's a dangerous opponent.
Yeah, and I think any army now, any of the new armies will have a list there that will suit any player, and it has the potential to go 5-0. So,
okay, Daniel Jones, thank you for joining us. You said, would you recommend a particular event for new players?
Team events. If you've got a group of friends, I'd go to a team event. Don't go and expect. Just go, and you'll just have a great time.
Yeah, I'd counter that a little bit. I think the double events, the doubles events are really good because I think there's a little bit of pressure off you as well, and by the very nature of the tournaments, it's difficult to get, like the uber meta competitive lists out of 1,000 points, and you've got like 2,000 point armies sandwiched together for the doubles events. But as a player, the pressure's off you a little bit. You're not having to think through everything. You know, your teammate is taking the load at times as well, and it gives you a bit of headspace to think, what am I doing next? And there's somebody to kind of talk to as well, saying, what should we do this turn and play off as well? So I think,
somebody to blame.
And somebody to blame. Well, it depends on who you pick as a teammate, isn't it? But I really, for me, doubles was a great introduction into tournaments. One thing I did find as a newbie to tournaments was it wasn't what I expected at all. You know, the friendliness, the camaraderie, the element of fun to it, particularly in Age of Sigmar. And, I just found it was quite a surprise. You expect these things to be cutthroat, hardcore. You know, okay, when you get to the top table, it gets a little bit more serious and it gets a bit more on it. But, the last tournament I did, I was on tables 1 and 2 for the last two games. And it was, it's like, whew, pressure, But, I think overall, actually most tournaments are quite friendly. You know, Sheffield Slaughter had some people there. That was their very first tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
There was a fire.
Loads of us went out clubbing on the Saturday night. Katie joined me. It was it's a great scene for the social. It's not just there for the gaming.
Liam says, can his each army go 5-0, Luke? Think carefully what you say.
Well, I think Siege armies already have, haven't they? That's why they're dominating so much at the moment.
Chilling Warhammer's saying, great to see us handsome fellas. Thank you very much, Chilling Wargamers. Chilling Wargamers are the channel behind ChillCon as well. So don't forget to check ChillCon out, because I'm sure the event's coming up soon. I'm a little bit out of touch with the event team, but I know that ChillCon is coming up soon, because they were talking about Broken Toads being part of the prizes for the painting competition at ChillCon. So
he's back now, Broken Toes back now. With some
yeah, with Series 3, Version 3, I think, or something like that. It's a new range of Broken Toe brushes, and they're the prizes, or part of the prizes, for the painting competition at ChillCon. So do check that out. What else have we got? I think that might be it. Check me out on Instafill. That's where I post most of my painting. I will do. I will try this newfangled thing called Instagram. I'm a Facebook, YouTube-y kind of person, but I've realized there's a whole world out there called Instagram. And
yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to get on with that, aren't I? Okay, right. Liam did say, was my first tournament. Well, there you go. There you go. I think that's the thing is, you know, in terms of what tournament to go to, I mean, the reality is most tournaments have a broad field. And if you're not a massively experienced player, don't go there thinking I'm going to win 5-0. Just go there to find out what a tournament's like. Have fun. If you make a few losses, you go down the field and you tend to find by the end of the, you know, the end of the tournament, you're surrounded by a bunch of people with similar skill base and, you know, similar experience, just having fun, aren't you? You know, the mid to the bottom tables can be a hell of a lot of fun. It's not all about being on the top table. Well, okay, missed the four wins in a row, but there you go. For me, it's not always about being on the top table. Okay, I think that's it. I just want to say, it's 28 for ChillCon. There you go. Someone's actually put it in there. I want to say thank you very much for Luke to join us. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks. Thanks for everyone joining us. It's been good.
And as I mentioned, this is a new show format for us. So this is Combat Gauge. We will also be releasing the audio for this as a podcast, but you know, it'll need a little bit of an edit because this was a live show. But as soon as that's up, I will post up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and all the rest, and let people know that's there as well.
Yeah.
All right. Cheers, man. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for everybody who joined us in the chat, and we'll see you again soon.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you for tuning into Combat Gauge, the official Wargamer Online podcast. If you want to check out more of our content, you can find us on YouTube/WargamerOnline. Or Twitter and Instagram @WargamerOnline. Don't forget to check out our premium content on our dedicated wargaming website, www.wargameronline.com.